Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Word of God tonight. The title of the message tonight is Giants in the Earth. I trust the Word will be a blessing and strength and help to us tonight. Let's begin with Genesis chapter 6, Giants in the Earth. Genesis 6, 1 to 8. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth. KJV says, in the earth. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark. Make yourself an ark. Genesis 7 and 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, you and all your household, you and all your family, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Giants in the earth in those days, and giants in the earth in these days. Jesus said, Matthew 4, 27, but as the days, Matthew 24, 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, there are four characteristics, four defining conditions of Noah's day that are put on the pages of the Bible, and we can look at those and see the parallels to our day. The first one is wickedness. Wickedness, evil intent and imagination. Godlessness in the earth. Genesis 6, 5 says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wickedness, evil intent, and imagination in the earth today. Number two, corruption, immorality, flesh life, corruption in government, corruption in business, corruption in media, corruption in the human heart, immorality across the nations, flesh life. Genesis 6, 12, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Third characteristic, violence, crime, theft, hatred, vandalism. What a world today. Everything's under surveillance. Everything's under security, night and day. An earth filled with such violence. Genesis 6:11 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, terrorism, and all those evils. Number four, satanic intrusion into human sexual realms. Satanic intrusion. Genesis 6:4, there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Giants in the earth in those days, there was a demonic intrusion into human sexual realms, and there is a demonic intrusion in our day. There are giants in the earth. The sexual revolution of the 1960s has defiled the nations of the earth. Abortion is an intrusion, a demonic intrusion into human sexual realms. Human trafficking and all that goes with it is a demonic intrusion into human sexual realms. And there are two giants in particular, and they both start with the letter G. But I can't even bring myself to say them in the holy pulpit. They stomp around in the earth today. And there's another giant. I thought he was a sleeping giant, but he woke up. And now he influences wherever he can. There are giants in the earth in these days, in our days. These are not low-level demons, mere foot soldiers of Satan. These are high satanic agents, rulers of strategic level warfare. Giants in the earth, and we can see them. Big government and big tech and big media, big pharma, big ideology, big media, giants in the earth. We're all aware of them. Now, what I find comforting is that God never reprimanded Noah for not ridding the earth of the giants. Didn't reprove them. There are some Christians who think it's the church's fault that there are giants in the earth today. Church is at fault. The church doesn't pray enough. The church isn't holy enough. The church isn't fervent enough. And it may be true that the church isn't holy enough and fervent enough and praying enough, but that's a separate matter. Because the Bible also teaches that the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, will run its course in the earth, and the mystery of godliness or righteousness will also run its course in the earth. Two realms that are making their way. Two realms that are making their way in the earth. Giants in the earth in those days. Giants in the earth in these days. You say, well, I thought we're supposed to take out all the giants. Doesn't the Bible say take out the giants? Well, it depends what giants we're talking about. There were giants in the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land that was promised to God's people, the land of promise for you and me. There are giants in the land of Canaan. And those are the ones we're supposed to take out. Fears, unbelief, grasshopper mentality, small stature. These are the giants we have to take out so we can gain our inheritance. It was Joshua and Caleb who said, let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome them. And so there are giants that we have to take out that want to keep us from our full inheritance and victory and fullness as Christians. We have to take those giants out of our lives, out of the land, so we can inherit and walk in the fullness of God's blessing and his victory and his strength in our lives. But there are other giants that interfere with the earth. But the good news is those other giants cannot, they have no power over us. They have no power. They cannot hinder our full expression in God. They cannot hinder the full inheritance that we can walk in as Christians today. And so we take out the right giants and the others we know. Those giants, like the days of the flood, it was the flood that took them all away. Noah didn't take them out. The righteous didn't take them out. The judgment of God came. There are some giants that are not going to fall until judgment day. In Noah's day, the flood took them out. And at the end day, the fire is going to take them out. Giants in the earth, what do we do? Well, let's take a lesson from Noah tonight. Number one, keep righteous. Keep righteous. Genesis 6:9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Wow. And everything God was saying there, so turbulent, so vile, so defiled. And then this beautiful word, Noah was a just man, perfect. Noah walked with God. Genesis 7:1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your family, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Come into the ark, you and your family, your sons and daughters, because I have seen that you are righteous. Righteousness matters. Take time to be holy. Draw near to the presence of the Lord. Walk with God carefully in your heart. Seek the Lord. Stay morally pure. Stay undefiled. Righteousness matters with the Lord. The Lord says, there's a righteous man, and because he's righteous, I'm going to help him, and I'm going to put my spirit in and help his family, and I'm going to save them from what's going on in the earth. Psalm 18, 20 to 24. David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him. And I kept myself from my iniquity. I kept myself from sin. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. 1 Samuel 2:30, God said, those who honor me, I will honor. Giants in the earth, giants in the earth. But we're going to walk with God. We're going to keep righteous. Number two, the Bible says, keep praying. Keep praying. 1 Timothy 2, 1-5. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. Supplications. Intensity, persistence, prayers, general prayers, intercessions, intense sessions, and thanksgivings, praise prayers. Apostle Paul said, I want these to be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Say, well, I come to prayer and I really don't know what to pray for, or kind of lose my way sometimes. Well, here is the Bible's telling us that we should pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, honesty and dignity. So we pray for all men. We pray for kings. We pray for those who are in authority, governments. We pray for God's presence and righteousness to be in our land, because we want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, free from violence and destruction and things that would break a nation. We are to pray for beneficial government in our land so we can prosper and enjoy the blessing of the Lord and fulfill the will of God in evangelism and salvation. He said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth," the scriptures. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Here's another prayer. Start praying for all men to be saved. Get into the prayer room and say, "Lord, I'm praying for all people, that all people get saved," because that's the desire of God. You begin to pray those prayers before the Lord. Lift them up before the Lord. "That they might all come to the knowledge of the truth, that the Bible would be distributed far and wide across the nations, that people would come to, the scriptures would come into their hands today, that somehow a word of the Lord would come." Because the Bible says there is only one mediator between God and men, not many mediators, not many people. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And there is only one book. There aren't 5 or 6 books or 100 books and ideologies and self-help and philosophies of men. There is only one book, and that book is the Bible. And so there we are. Keep praying, people of God. Keep praying, church. Pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Pray that all men would be saved, all people would hear the gospel, and that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. Keep righteous. Keep praying. Number 3, keep preaching. Keep preaching. So I've talked to so many people about the Lord and invited them to church, and hardly anybody even gives real credence to the voice or the message. Keep preaching. 2 Peter 2:5. Bible says, "God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness." God had a witness in the earth, a preacher of righteousness. He didn't see a huge revival, did he? Results or no results, we keep preaching. We keep speaking the word of God, of salvation, of God's salvation. Noah, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water." The divine long-suffering of God is waiting. God is waiting for people to be saved. And when you preach the gospel and you share the gospel, it's Jesus that is pleading with people through your words and through your spirit. It's Jesus that is calling them. Just like in Noah's day, Jesus was preaching through Noah. It was Jesus calling to the people. And so it is with us. As we speak the word, it's Jesus that has to do the work. We sow, we water, the Bible says. And then we have to leave things with God, because only he can give the increase, and he knows the hearts of all people. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-7, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Keep preaching. Keep righteous. Keep praying. Keep preaching. And number four, worship team, come. Keep building an ark. Keep building an ark. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Divinely warned. The Spirit of God is warning us. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, prepared an ark for the saving of his family, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Keep building an ark for your family. Keep building an ark. You know, I reiterate from a couple of months ago. So why do you go to church so much? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Friday night youth. Why do you go to church so much? Service after service, week after week, month after month, year after year, no break, determined. Why do you go to church so much? I'm building an ark. I'm building an ark. I want to save my family. And I want to save people that come under the sound of God's ministry and his presence and his word. So why so committed to the prayer room? Why so committed to the prayer room? Supplications and prayers and intercessions and intensity, calling on God. I'm building an ark. Board after board, timber after timber. Building an ark of salvation. Why so yearning over the word? Why so longing over the promises of God and invoking the promises of God, calling on the Lord, invoking the name of the Lord, invoking who he is, invoking his presence, invoking his word, invoking his promises over my life, over my family, over the church, over the earth? Why so persistent? I'm building an ark. I just want to say tonight, there are giants in the earth, but God sees his people and God sees the righteous. We are not to let the times wear us down or wear us out, because if we will be faithful to the Lord, like Noah, let's take a lesson from Noah. Noah prepared, and God saw him and his family through, and they landed in a new world. And so will we. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Such a beautiful call of the Lord in the house today, this morning, and this evening. People to separate themselves and walk with God. Prophecy came tonight about surrender. Surrender to Jesus. Is there anyone here tonight that doesn't know the Lord? You say, I need to come and give my life to Jesus. Give up my own ways. Quit leaning on the understanding of my own mind and all the voices around me. Tonight you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Please slip out from where you are. Come down to the front. People will pray for you and lift you up. Come and give your life to Jesus. Forsake yourself, forsake all, and follow him. Maybe you have other needs tonight, or the Spirit of the Lord is really calling you and dealing with an area of your life. You say, I need to surrender to Jesus. Then you slip out from where you are. But let's all of us for a few moments tonight just lift our voices and our hearts, lift our hands to the Lord and invoke his blessing and his strength and his goodness upon our lives. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, Lord.